Hello, welcome again to Milk to Meat. I'm again with Drew Dulaney and Andy Dulaney. And you may remember the last time we were together that we wrapped up with a statement that may have left some confusion in some people's minds. And that is, I believe Andy said, that we're added to the church. Now, I don't know about you fellas, but when I drive down the road, they're about, seem like sometimes, 1,000 different names of churches. So, what church? Andy, how would you start to answer that?
Well, I think the best way to start is, I love the book of Ephesians. It's a book that talks a lot about the church. And in particular, in chapter 4, it talks about a number of things that there's one of, and I'd like to focus on at least two of those, and that is there is one body. And if you go to Ephesians 1, chapter, I believe, 22, 23, it's obvious he's talking about the church in 22 and calls it his body. So there is one church, there's one body, and beyond that, on the ones in Ephesians chapter 4, there's one faith. So there's one, the sum of all is believed, I think, Gary, you talk about. It's not just my belief or your belief. There is a set of beliefs given to us by the Word of God that one church is to be focused on. So there is one church, there's one body, and that one body, whatever that is to be focused on the one system of faith, the one group of beliefs that we find in the New Testament. So I think that's very important. It is absolutely impossible for me to be a part of a body of a church and somebody else to be a part of a body or a church, and we believe totally different things, and we both be the Lord's church. It cannot happen. So one faith, one system of beliefs that we get from our New Testament, and there is one body, the church, that Jesus bought and purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28.
Okay. So, Drew, what? If I'm hearing that right, you can correct me if I didn't, but if I'm hearing it right, what we've concluded is there's only one church. Mm-hmm. But how do I recognize it? Because, again, think of all those signs. We've got all these different buildings and things.
It's interesting this morning at the office, one of the people that I work with, I forget how it came up, but she made a comment along those lines. She said, "I don't understand why there's so many different types of churches," is how it was worded. Yeah. And I just made the comment. I said, it doesn't make sense because that's not really what the Bible teaches, is it? And I'm hoping that maybe that will be a little, seed planted and that will grow, hopefully. But you're right. It's confusing to me when you look at things in the Bible, and the Bible lays out clearly that God has given us a pattern for how things should look. We have to remember, this was the church that Jesus said that he was going to build. This belongs to him. Mm-hmm. He is the one that purchased it. He's the one that died for it. And through the Holy Spirit, the apostles and writers of the New Testament laid out certain distinct characteristics that are going to be indicative of this is what the church is. And of course, I think to me, we've already started with where we need to start and emphasizing that there's only one church in the Bible. Mm-hmm. To me, I think from there we go to, well, when did it start and where did it start?
Okay.
And of course, that would be in Acts chapter 2, there on the day of Pentecost when the power came, as Jesus told the disciples there in Mark 9:1, the kingdom will come with power. And the apostles there were baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And of course, people were repentant and believed and baptized and added to the kingdom, as is told there in Acts chapter 2.
Okay. All right. So Andy's talked about Christ's blood bought the church, or bought those who are part of the church. Mm-hmm. You've talked about how that Jesus said he would build his church,
right,
from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20,
right,
somewhere along about there. And we've begun to to look at this thing. Of course, Andy, you said one faith, one system of belief, one type of teaching only. Why is it then that people can say, well, that's just your interpretation? What leads to that problem?
Well, we all come in this life with baggage. And that is, we grow up with parents that teach us certain things, and sometimes that is based on God's word, and maybe sometimes it may not be. And the truth of the matter is that we cannot base our beliefs on what man teaches. If we don't go back to the singleness of God's word and recognize that it is that we are to look at and to know the mind of Christ. I think 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3 talks about that. If you want to know the mind of Christ, it was delivered by the Holy Spirit through the apostles and given to us in the New Testament. So, again, as Drew said, the Bible is very clear about when the church came into existence in Acts 2. It is very clear that the Lord added the saved to the church. So, you got to be saved first, and then when you are saved, you're added to that one church, and so we need to find out what is it that and Drew has already mentioned the repentance and baptism into the body of Christ that was very important. So it is this word, the holy word of God, that we have to depend on to and not man and what he says to get us to that oneness. There's a oneness there based on this faith that we read about in Ephesians 4.
Okay, so, sometimes somebody will say, well, you're saying that, but I'm just trying to follow Jesus. So I want to show that what everybody said so far is supported by what Jesus did. So you go to Luke chapter 24, he has... died, he's been buried, he's been raised from the dead. Two fellows are walking along, two disciples. They're on the road to a little place called Emmaus, about which we know very little, but that's where they're headed. And Jesus joins them, but through some means, they're not able to recognize who he is. And as they're walking along, they're naturally talking about what? The death, the burial, the resurrection. And then some people say he's raised. They're not sure about that, really. And Jesus is inquisitive toward them. What are you fellas talking about? And they basically say, well, you've been living under a rock. you've been in Jerusalem, and you don't know about this. And so they elaborate a little bit. And then he picks up off of that in verse 25 of Luke 24. And says, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus went to scripture. Now, obviously, he went to Moses and the prophets, because there was no New Testament written in his era. But that's where he went, and he showed how that these scriptures pointed toward me, toward Christ, and how significant that is when you consider some religious groups today that don't really point toward Jesus. They actually point sometimes toward a man or a group of men. It depends on, who we're talking about. I'm not going to name names. People know. They're aware of that. But Jesus says the scripture points toward me. Later, same chapter, he's with the disciples. They're still not sure they believe that he's been raised from the dead. But he begins to speak to them in verse 44 of that same Luke 24. And he says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Now, I don't know if we're seeing that all this is going together. So we've got one church, because there's only one body, and the church and the body is the same thing. But that one church follows one system of teaching.
That's correct.
And it's a system of teaching that where Jesus found in Scripture.
That's right.
And so the first thing I would encourage somebody to look for when they're going down the road, trying to find, well, where do I need to go? You need to find a church that follows the Bible.
Absolutely.
So we've got one body, so we know about that. We've got one system of teaching. Now, in that same section, doesn't it say one Lord?
One Lord.
One Lord.
One Master.
One Master. So, who is that?
Well, that's Christ. And, you know, it just, you and I talked about this earlier, Gary. When you talk about the church, almost every incident in which the church is talked about in the New Testament, again, it points back to Christ. Mm-hmm. Just think about the descriptive names that you hear about the church. It is the kingdom. Who's our king? Jesus Christ. It's not a man. It's not a group of people, as you said. It's not a system of beliefs that one may believe in. It is our King who is over us, and we are the kingdom. You've got the church of the firstborn, Jesus being the firstborn. You've got we are the bride of Christ, with him being our husband or the head of the church. And so on and on, Church of Christ, it is a descriptive term. It is a church that belongs to Christ. Church of God, it belongs to God. All of these, again, point back to, as you said, our leader, our head, which is Jesus Christ. And that's where I would start with anybody. Listen, there's nobody that you need to focus on. When you get to God's Word in the New Testament, it starts talking about the church, except what Jesus is and what Jesus said. And that's where we get our information.
Okay. So, Drew, your dad's given us he calls them descriptions.
That's right.
So is there a specific name that I ought to be looking for when I'm looking for a church?
Well, no, not really. I mean, that's how I would answer it, at least. As we've established, really, you know, the church was bought with the blood of Jesus. And once we are obedient, the Lord, according to Acts chapter 2, adds us to that group. Mm-hmm. And throughout the rest of the New Testament, when the writers of the New Testament are describing that group of people, again, it's a description. Nowhere really does it say this is the name, I guess. And so each time we see certain terms that are given to that group of people that describes, and a lot of times, for example, Church of Christ, that's the one that is most commonly used and recognized. That's the one that is out on our sign. But it is really a sign of ownership. Who do we belong to? We belong to Jesus. And I'm real ticky about that. I want to be careful. I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we sound denominational.
Okay.
When we say, I belong to the Church of Christ and things like that, it can sound at times, I think we just need to be careful, because it's not a denomination and it's not a, you know, name and all this. It's a description. We are the church that Jesus purchased, that he bought with his blood. And of course, along with that, denotes authority, as we've already mentioned, and things like that. And so I want to encourage all of us to be careful with the words that we use and how we use them. I think that's very important.
Yeah, I've literally heard people say, I'm a Church of Christ.
Yeah, we can't say that.
Yeah,
we can't.
I kind of laugh at the whole idea. No, you couldn't possibly be.
That's right.
A Church of Christ. You could be a member of.
That's right.
You know, but you cannot possibly
be. I know that's being nitpicky, but yeah. I think we need to be, because that's the way the Bible uses the terms, you know.
Well, if we were, you're using the word nitpicky, but I think the point is, if we were a little clearer
right.
about things, people might, at least some of them, might be less confused what we're trying to say. So, Andy, you said, when I said one Lord, you said Master.
Right.
So, where would you go to establish that He is the Master, He is the Lord of the church?
In Matthew 16, verse 18, when he's talking to Peter, he talks about it's his church.
Right.
He is the owner of it. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." That is the confession that Jesus is the Christ. Mm-hmm. He is Lord. Based on that fact, Jesus says, "I will build my church." So whether we're talking about even descriptive terms that we may use, as y'all have already talked about, whether you're talking about how to become a part of it or how does God add you, man cannot tell you that. That some of the things that we read are foolishness to man. But when God's word tells us how we're added, how we become a part, when God tells us in His church how it is organized, when God tells us in His word about worship and other things that we may talk about when we talk about distinctive things about the church, again, it comes from our Lord, our Master, Jesus Christ, and not from man. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is deity. And He is the one that we look at in our New Testaments to find out what His body, His church, is to do and to be like.
Yeah, and isn't it true, really, that like in John chapters 14 and 15 yes. and 16, that He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to deliver my words.
That's right.
Not going to speak right. about Himself.
Right.
And so, really, He's not delivering anything new. When he comes, he's delivering the message of the Master, which is the terminology that you use. Now, Peter uses a different terminology, Drew. Tell me a little bit about 1 Peter 5 and how all this works together here. We've got a Master, of course, but he's not here. He's in heaven. So how does the church end up following the Master?
Well, of course, as we've already established, it would be our responsibility to make sure we're doing everything the best that we can according to Scripture. But if I understand correctly, maybe what you're implying here, God has appointed a certain organization to the church. Of course, Jesus being described by Peter as the chief shepherd.
Right.
And so He is the one that we look to. But of course, under that, being, I guess, leaders, if you will, of each local congregation, we have the shepherds, who it's their responsibility to help lead the flock in the way that God would want us to be led
mm-hmm.
and make sure truth is being taught and the sheep are being fed and protected. Mm-hmm. And so God has given those men a great deal of responsibility to help the church be what God wants it to be.
Okay, so you used the word responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting because you didn't really use the word authority. And I want to be careful here, yeah. But what about it, Andy? What authority do these men have?
Yeah, we got to be very careful. If Christ is our head, if Christ is the Master, then the eldership, that is a plurality of men, the eldership only have the authority to act when on doctrinal issues, on things that are not in areas of opinion, by what Jesus Christ said. He is the chief shepherd, and the elders are the shepherds under Him and must abide by what Christ said. There is no authority of their own as such, and certainly in those areas. And of course, there are areas that the shepherds will make, like what time are we going to worship, or these kinds of things that the Bible really doesn't deal with, that they must use their wisdom, people together, that would help the church the most. But I think it's very important that when we talk about elders, shepherds, that we all recognize again that Christ in his wisdom and the writers in their wisdom through the Holy Spirit used descriptive terms to define this office for a reason. Elders, maturity, bishops or overseers to be over the work, shepherds to feed the flock,
right,
and those type things. All these are very important descriptive terms that tells us how that plurality of men are to act. So again, it is a very important office, but it is one that is biblical. And when we're talking about this, we're talking about what does the church look like? How do I know how do I know that where I'm going is the church that Jesus purchased with his blood? Well, one of the first things you got to look at is, well, how are they organized?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there one person that calls himself the pastor? Well, that's not organized the way Jesus said it's to be organized. The pastors, the shepherds, the elders are all one office, and it's a plurality of men. So, again, we're trying to be distinctive here, as distinctive as the Word in the New Testament tells us we need to be, to find out what that church is.
Okay, and really, what you've just done, just in case those that are, you know, going to watch this are wondering, you've elaborated a little bit on this 1 Peter chapter 5.
Yes.
Because there he starts out, the elders who are among you. And that the term elders there, I hate to say it, but it just means old men.
That's right. That's right.
I'm an elder, but right. I'm not an elder in the church. I don't hold an office. Yeah. It's just I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
You know, so in that sense I'm an elder. We got other men who worship with us who could be described as elder, but they're not elders, you know. So maybe going forward, like which you did, and observing that he says, who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, I do want to pause long enough to notice something, and it's not to correct what you said, mm-hmm. it's to observe, it's possible for a preacher like Peter,
absolutely,
to be a shepherd. He can do both.
Right.
But what your point was, there is nowhere in Scripture where one man rules over any group of people. That's not scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask, and I get a kick out of this, because every now and then somebody calls the office and I'm the only one here. So I pick up the phone and say, well, is the pastor there? And I'll say, well, we've got eight and none of them are here right now.
Right.
So I'm not picking on them, but there's such a misunderstanding there. So Peter goes on and says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And when he used that word shepherd, there's your pastor,
mm-hmm.
pastor of the flock.
Right.
Lead them,
right.
Feed them, protect them. You know, these are things that we've talked about, and that's the way that it ought to be. That's the way it's outlined here. And then finally, as you've already indicated, he says, serving as overseers.
Right.
And their job is to help people in their work, to make sure that they go forward in a way that's pleasing to, and he goes on into that, not by compulsion. In other words, elders don't get to make laws and
that's
demand
correct.
Things.
That's correct.
They don't get to do that, and you've already said that.
Mm-hmm.
But willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not to be in for the money. Of course, right now that's not a problem. We don't pay our elders, so that, mm-hmm. so they couldn't possibly be in it for the money. But he goes ahead. And he says, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then he does go on and talk about the chief shepherd. So always with the acknowledgement in this leadership position that really we're leading under Christ.
Right.
We have no authority to act in any way that Christ would not act.
That's right.
Gary, I love the idea of a shepherd. You drive cattle. You get behind them and you hit them with a stick and drive them.
Yeah.
A shepherd is out front and is leading the flock. Where are they leading to? Places of protection, places where they can feed and eat. And that's the spiritual, I mean, that's the physical idea that we're bringing over to the spiritual here. If the elders are not examples and are not doing the work themselves or not being Christians themselves, then they certainly can't be led the way God wants them to lead.
Okay.
And their role is to make sure that the teaching is not false teaching, that it's according to God's word, and that the flock is being fed from God's word and they're being protected and all these things that we've talked about. So,
okay.
Very important office.
It is. All right. What I want to do real quickly is try, and you two can make sure I do this well, I hope. Early on, we established that the church is the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And because you alluded to Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, we know that Christ is the head of that body.
Mm-hmm.
So we've laid that out. We have observed that Jesus, as the head, makes all the ultimate decisions. He doesn't decide, things that are day to day. I mean, okay, we're to gather together on Sunday. What time? Well, that might vary from place to place.
Right.
And we understand that. So elders try to work with the people that are with them and under them and make sure that it works out well. So we've talked about that. We've talked about the fact that this church, if you're going down the road looking for a sign only for that in reality, even the sign we have out front is merely a description.
Exactly right.
And what you want is a biblical description. In this case, Church of Christ, the church belonging to Christ. And maybe it'd help people if we said that more often.
Right, yeah, right.
I would guess. We've observed that we have only one faith or only one system of belief. And that system of belief is, according to Jesus, is you go back to the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You look and see what it has to say. And of course, we also noted that the Holy Spirit delivered the message that Jesus wanted delivered, mm-hmm. not his own message. But the message Jesus wanted to have delivered. And then we've also observed that this church we're looking for is going to be organized in a certain way. The preacher's not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He can be one of those who is, a part of that group that makes these day-to-day type decisions. But he's not in charge. Instead, we have a group of men. Best described, it seems to me, as shepherds, because that's such a unique, what you said, right. Andy, is so true. The idea of leading, not driving.
That's right.
Drivers, crack the whip, shoot the gun, whatever, make people go.
That's
That's not the way you work with the sheep.
That's
so
correct.
I know we haven't answered everything,
right.
But I think we've set a good stage here. And maybe in future conversations we can flesh this out.
Get more into the distinctive characteristics of what the Bible says the church is.
So we thank all of you for joining us. And Lord willing, we'll come back next month and maybe we'll elaborate a little bit further about the church.
For more information on Milk to Meat and Solid Road Church of Christ, please visit our Facebook or Instagram page or check out our website at www.siloroad.com.